Jesus came to Galilee, that's his home territory, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So here is now the definition of what Christ preached, saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand within your grasp. Okay, it's here and now. Repent and believe the gospel. So repent and believe the gospel. So I just for a moment want to talk about the idea of what the Bible means when it talks about repent. And so many people, especially in our culture, that word has become a bad word. You know, we picture the guy, the crazy looking guy in Times Square, New York, holding up the sign, you know, repent or go to hell, the big sign, you know, and walking around repent. So repentance has got a bad rap, but in the Greek language, it's a compound word. It comes from meta and neo. Meta means change or afterwards, and neo means mind or the way you think. Repent literally means to change your mind for better, to change your mind for better, okay? So Jesus said, I want you to change your mind so you can live in the kingdom of God. I want you to change your mind so that you can experience the best life God has for you in this world. And that is the kingdom of God. That is the truth of God for you as a believer. People that are revolutionary are people that have allowed their minds to be changed. This week I was having a headache, and my wife thought my back was, you know, we'd done crazy travel and stuff already this year. And so she brought me to the chiropractor, kind of like for the first time. This guy, he says, hey man, your back is whack. And he says, just lay down here and just relax. I'm going to do some things. And I said, okay, I laid down. He says, relax your neck. And all of a sudden, I thought he was going to rip my head off. I heard like four cracks. I go, oh my gosh. He says, hear those cracks? That means things are getting back into alignment. So today I pray that while I'm preaching, a bunch of cracks happen. And God brings your mind back into alignment with his kingdom, okay? So that you get healthy, amen? So it worked because I left that place with no headache. It was awesome. So Jesus said, the kingdom of God is here. If you can change the way you think, you can experience the dynamic of its power for your life, okay? So we're invited to change. Everybody say change. So that's God's promise to us as his believers in Isaiah 55. God's likening his thoughts to our thoughts, two different worlds and dimensions. Seek the Lord while he can be found. Call upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55:6. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Everybody say his thoughts. Okay, so thoughts, what are thoughts? Thoughts are the engine of your action. Every action you take began as a thought. Every word you say began as a thought. And so God doesn't just deal with our behavior. He goes to our thought life that is in the driver's seat of our life's actions and words. Let them return to the Lord and to our God. He will have mercy on him and he will abundantly pardon. So we have a forgiving and loving God. Now here's God saying, first voice, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Someone say, duh, you know. So God has a higher realm of thinking and a higher dimension of thought. So the thoughts of God, the thoughts of men are not your ways. My ways are not your ways. As the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So as a little boy, I hear that all the time. People say, well, God's ways are higher than our ways. And they would always talk as if we could never get there. But the moment you came to Christ, you got the ladder up. Okay, you got the mind of Christ. You got access to the thoughts of God. That's what the Word of God is. God's thoughts put in paper. So there's this division, and God says, but here's, I'm going to rain down my world into your dry desert, and your life's going to blossom. As the rain comes down, the snow from heaven doesn't return back, but waters the earth and makes it to bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It won't return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper the thing which I send it. So God's word comes like water. It comes to our life like a seed. In the parable in Matthew 13, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is likened to a man who sowed seed. So the message of the kingdom is seed, God's word, God's message, okay, revealed to us. And it comes to us into our life in form of a thought. And the people, and the soil then, the problem was never with the seed, it was always with the soil. Some soil was hard, couldn't receive it. Some had thorns and that strangled it. Some was unwatered and couldn't withstand difficulty. But there was a healthy soil that received the seed and it blossomed and grew. God's will is for your life to become fruitful, and your life becomes fruitful to the degree that you can access the revelation of God by His word in His kingdom. So His word comes to you and it changes. So that's what God's after. God wants you to be a revolutionary, and you have to think like one, okay? Second point. We experience the kingdom of God and the divine destiny it holds for us to the degree that we renew our minds. So God's got an incredible plan for every person. Before I finish, I want to congratulate Ryan and his beautiful fiance. Stand up, you guys. Carissa, we're marrying them the Thursday. They'll be a family by next Sunday. Hey, go ahead and take next Sunday off. Yeah, they'll be in Hawaii. Not thinking about CFTN, if you know what I mean. We experience the kingdom of God. So God says, you can have all these things in my kingdom, but you can only have them to the degree that your mind is in alignment with me. See, we miss out on God wants to do because we're not on the same page in our thought life with God. Okay? Renew our minds. Renew our minds. Jesus said beautifully to us in John 8. Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you abide, continue in my word, you are my disciple indeed. So a disciple is a person who continues with God. I love pastoring this church. We have so many. The great blend of our church is 100 nations, half our church under 35, all these great dimensions. But also, we have thousands of new converts, but we have these awesome people that have been saved for like 30, 40 years. They've seen everything. They've been through 100, they've continued with Jesus. It's good for you to see people that have followed Jesus their whole life because you can do the same thing. It's good for you to see their example. Those are disciples. Anybody been saved 30 years? Been following? Anybody 40 years? Anybody 50 years? Now we're talking about age. You don't look your age. Look at the people who have been serving God for 50 years. Thank God for them. Come on. Awesome. So Jesus said, as a consequence of your continuing and abiding with me, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. One of the great misstatements that's in this culture is the truth will set you free. It doesn't set anybody free who doesn't know it. The truth you know sets you free. Okay? If you don't put the know part, knowing it. The word know is gnosko in the Greek. Gnosko means knowledge that comes, has an inception, a progression, and then a fulfillment. And the fulfillment is an experience. So knowledge that comes, it begins, it grows, and it manifests in your real life. Knowledge that becomes something you experience. And Jesus said, you're going to experience the truth if you keep walking with it. It'll grow with you. Well, Pastor, I'm not as free as I want to be. I know, just keep walking this year. By the end of this year, you'll be a different person. You're going to walk with the truth, walk with God, walk with Jesus, walk in the revelation. It's going to get better and better and better for you. Okay? That's the way it is with God. In Romans 12, great verse, I beseech you, brethren, verse 1, by the mercies of God, that you give your bodies to God, a living sacrifice. I say this here all the time. God wants your body. Amen? He might be the only one, but God wants your body, okay? God wants your body because spiritual powers have to have something to live in. On the earth, spiritual entities, demons, the Holy Spirit, can only live in things. They don't function outside of having a vessel to work with. So God wants your body. Holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. So how many of you think that it's a pretty good deal that God's given us everything in Jesus and all He wants is us? Amen? My life is not my own. Pastor BJ wrote that great song. To you I belong. I give myself. I don't think you wrote this actually. I give myself away. So that's the truth, okay? Then he says this, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Don't let the world pressure mold you into somebody you were never meant to be. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. It's the Greek word metamorphosis, metameo, and it means to transform the nature of something. Meta, change, neo, nature. Metamorphosis. God wants to change our nature. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove, test, know, and experience what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So God wants you to experience the good stuff, the acceptable stuff, and the perfect stuff of His kingdom and will, and you can according to renewing your mind. Amen? So your marriage can get awesome if you renew your mind. The Bible will help you. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, treat your husbands with respect and honor. Each of you being kind to each other, forgiving. A great marriage is made of two great forgivers. That's what anybody who's been married for a while figures out, okay? So God has this plan for us. 2 Corinthians says this, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. The weapons of our warfare aren't fleshly or carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. So we're in a battle. The battle's in our brain, in our mind. Okay? Look at me and get this, because Christians, well, the battle's out there for the primary Republican. Oh, the battle's in the cult. No, the battle's between your earlobes. Nothing out there has power over you unless you let it in here. Spiritual warfare is not what's happening to you, it's what's happening in you. So God wants you to live in victory in your mind. You have the mind of Christ. Amen? You have a mind filled with righteousness and hope and joy. You can live in victory in Christ's name. So last point. Faith, hope, and love is the culture of the kingdom revolution and the mindset of kingdom revolutionary. So if you want to be a world shaker and history maker, then here's how you do it. You have faith. Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 22, have faith in God. Everybody say that with me. Have faith. And then he said, here's how it works. The day before, a couple days before, Christ had been walking and he saw a fig tree from afar. And he says, let's go have some figs. I'm hungry. And they went up the hill. They found the fig tree and it was filled with leaves, but no fruit. There's all kinds of prophetic significance in that, okay? Everything that looks good, but there's really nothing there. So Jesus cursed the tree. No man will eat from you ever again. And the disciples are thinking, man, he's really cranky today. He just cursed the tree. But he's doing something intentionally. So he just happens to, a couple of days later, next day, he happens to bring them past the same tree. Doesn't say anything. He's going to see who's observant. They're walking. And Peter says, Master, look at the tree you cursed is dying from the roots up. And Jesus said, thank you for catching it, Peter. Have faith in God. For whoever, verse 23, whoever will say to this mountain, the mountain representing problems, demonic powers, cultural immoralities, anything wrong, anything that's risen up against God, whoever will say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe the things he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. Come on. Someone say, I'm a mountain mover. Elbow your neighbor and say, you're sitting next to a mountain mover. See, we have to get this right or our whole life will wait for God to move things we were empowered to move. Well, God, I don't know why this thing's, I don't know why you're not changing this thing. So I've given you sticks of dynamite, just unloose, It's called faith. Speak to it if you want it to change. Well, my child has a mind of his own. He's just out there, and I just don't know what to do. I know what to do. Prophesy to him. Speak things over him. Tell the devil he can't have him. You tell the devil how his story's going to end. Say to the mountain, be removed. So God's given us. So a revolutionary is a person who comes into. See, listen to me. God doesn't need you in a room filled with lamps. Oh, I just love going, Pastor, I just love going to all these conferences, the glory of God. So do I. It's okay. But if you spend your whole life going from lamp meeting to lamp meeting, you miss the purpose of your light. Okay? Oh, Pastor, I work with a bunch of sinners. Awesome! That's where you shine the brightest. Stop praying for God to take you away from people you're called to reach. Wow, Pastor, they're so dark there. I know, just shine, baby, shine. Okay, so a revolutionary doesn't try to escape problems. She runs to them. Okay, to change things. In a month, we will have our anniversary, 13 years. It's a church, and we began in 19th Avenue. And when we began there in Sunny Slope, it was the second worst crime neighborhood in Arizona, in the Phoenix metropolitan area, the Sunny Slope area. Highest for meth, highest, I think, for murder, and second highest for robbery, third highest for violence. So, you know, I get all these stats. The first Sunday I pulled up, Sunday night service, there was a bunch of ladies out in front on 19th Avenue, and I said, I think those ladies come to church. My wife said, no, those are prostitutes. They work this corner. The second Sunday came to church, we're driving on 19th Avenue, and about six police cars racing up both sides of the street coming straight at me. They go, uh-oh. Then I realized they're chasing a car. And the car's coming right at me, and the car pulled into the retirement center just like 50 feet in front of me. And they get out with their... And so it was. We were broken into 10 times the first year, our office. 10 times. The last time they broke through 8 office walls to find the safe. They carried the safe out in the parking lot, and something happened. They dropped it unopened in our parking lot. The safe was there. Of course, our office looked like it had been blown up by a bomb. We hired then 24-hour security. So we moved into a battle zone. 5 years ago, I was at a city meeting with the police department, and they said, we want to spotlight the most changed neighborhood in Arizona. And he said, it's Sunny Slope. And he said, here's what it used to be like. The police invited me and another pastor to this meeting. He said, here's what it used to be like. Crime. They said, overall, the crime rate's gone down like 88%. Murder's gone down like 99%. Drugs, they just showed all these charts. And they recognized that the church had something to do with that in that region. Come on now. So, I know we all want to live in places that are great. Yeah, I get all that. But don't be afraid of the darkness. Man. Okay. I got to finish this message. I'm not going to, but I'm going to pretend like I'm going to. The second point is, God wants you to have faith in who the Bible says you are. See, you can't be a revolutionary if you don't think you're one. It's amazing how much change you can bring when you believe you're a change agent. I'm here to change things. Well, who are you? Well, I'm not really important to the eyes of men, but I'm anointed by the Holy Ghost. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are God's ambassadors. He does things through you. And the Bible is the revelation, is the mirror of your identity in Christ. The most important thing in life is what you believe about God. But the second most important thing in life is what you believe about yourself. And God wants you to believe rightly about yourself. Amen? Okay. So I'm here to change things. Say that with me. I'm here to change things. Okay, we have to have faith in what God says we can do. Philippians 4:13, a great verse, says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Last night I was out and got home, and I was watching the highlights of Stephen Curry from Golden State, a basketball player, and he has on his tennis shoes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So he's just a wonderful Christian example in the culture. And he had 46 points last night. I was just, you know, so it was just awesome stuff. And it's amazing what he's doing. He's not that physically, he could barely dunk it. He's not physically overwhelmed, great, gifted, but he's moving into a realm of God. Listen, if you give God a chance, God will make you better than you're supposed to be by his abilities. Amen? Everybody say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, next point, we become agents of change by carrying the great power of hope, okay? Hope is truly revolutionary. Whoever possesses it the most carries the most influence. So get this. God wants you to be excited about your future, and God wants you to be the carrier of a joyful expectation of good in your future, because that by itself is an outstanding witness to this generation who's becoming more and more pessimistic and gloomy about the future. Why are you so happy? Because it's getting better and better. Peter said, they'll ask you for the reason of the hope you carry. They're asking, why are you happy? Because the path of the just gets brighter and brighter. Every day you walk with Jesus is better than the day before. That God always does better at the end of things than at the beginning of things. That God has awesome things in store for my life. Everybody shout hope. Okay? So hope is influence. So the cultures, they say potentially now that millennials, from 20s down to late teens, millennials, the largest numeric generation in American history, that millennials will be the only generation in modern American history that doesn't think their lives will be better than their parents. I just want to say, that's a big fat lie. Don't believe lies. You can have whatever God promises you. So don't let someone steal your potential by telling you, well, opportunities. In the kingdom of God, there's never a famine. There's never a lack of supply, provision, or opportunity. Give God a chance. He'll make you a shining testimony to your family. Come on, I'm almost done. Everybody shout hope. Okay, there's power in hope. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, put on the helmet of hope. The hope of salvation. So protecting your mind, you have to believe. I got depressed 20 years ago when I thought my best days, I was 36 and I thought my best life was over. So I wrote a country album. I don't want to pick on all my country friends. How many of you love country music? Keep your hands raised. God, please heal all these people. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'll wear cowboy boots next Sunday to make you happy, okay? I'm with you. So I wrote this album, really kind of just releasing pain from my soul, you know. How bad I feel. Because when hope walks out, darkness walks in. Depression walks in, okay? So you can't afford to not live in hope. Last point. The greatest weapon a kingdom of God revolutionary has is love. The A-bomb, okay? The atomic bomb of heaven's weaponry in your life is love. Because love never fails. Tonight when I talk about prophecy, I'll talk about if your prophecy isn't dripping in love, it's not connected as much to God as it should be. So I grew up with some, I would say, some harsh prophetic people. Their gift very accurate, but their spirit's kind of harsh. You with me? The wonderful people. The problem is the outcome was always limited because of the dryness of their own spirit that wouldn't drench those words in love. Even if it's a corrective word, if it's drenched in love, it brings healing. Amen? So everybody shout love. So it's the Greek word agape, a word either Christ invented or an unused Greek word he adopted. Agape means when a person looks at another person and sees so much beauty and value, they become compelled to love them. We're in France. My wife couldn't wait to see the Mona Lisa picture. So this is a funny thing. We're at our hotel, Hotel du Louvre. We don't speak French. But anyway, so we check in and say, well, we're looking for the Louvre Museum. The guy says, it's 50 feet across the street. Thank you. We're American. Don't speak French. So we walked in there and saw the Mona Lisa, this priceless thing, and it was smaller than I thought it would be, and a big crowd of people looking at it, and it was all there. It has value conveyed upon it because of its origin, it's the artist that created it. So it was created by a master artist. Now get this. every single person alive has been created by a master artist. And God wants you to see value in people that compels you to love them even when they're unloving. People need to be loved the most when they act the most unloving. Oh, this person is acting horrible. I know, a great chance to love them. Mary and I had a chance to love someone a couple weeks ago, and they were just being really unloving toward us, you know, just trying to push buttons. But we went into the meeting unoffendable. So I apologized a couple times for stuff I hadn't even done. I said, well, I'm sorry about that. Don't worry. And by the end of it, the person's like, oh. And they just did a 180. They changed. And they started opening their hearts to us because they saw that we were determined to love them. Sometimes your kids will push you to see if, you know, and sometimes they're just testing the resolve of your love. Sometimes we have to love them in different ways or harder ways than normal. But love never fails. Everybody say love never fails. So God so loved the world, he gave us Jesus, okay? That's God's solution, love. And God wants everything we do to be saturated in love, because if people feel you love them, they'll receive anything you have to say to them. Okay? So we used to pass out tracts. Here, man, read this. Read this, man. You don't want to go to hell. Read this tract. It would be cartoons. Yeah, you're a sinner smoking pot and drinking booze. Read this track. They're like, okay, whatever. That's probably not the best way to give Jesus to somebody. You with me? The best way is to show them you love them, even if they're imperfect. We don't care. We welcome homosexuals to this church, not because we're endorsing a lifestyle, but because God loves them. And God can help them and heal them, bless them, just like any of us. Come on. We welcome adulterers. We welcome witches and warlocks and Satanists. We welcome crooked lawyers and crooked politicians. We welcome backslidden preachers. Come on now. God loves them. We don't interview people at the door and say, we don't say, do you have a good reputation? Because if you don't, this isn't really the church for you. We want everything to be shiny clean here. No, man, let Jesus clean people up. Okay? So you might, this very morning, you might be sitting someone next to someone with a suspicious background. And God's loving you might be the thing helping them. Okay, I'll love them. They look kind of sketchy, but I'm going to love them. Love never fails. Say with me, love never fails. I got to stop it. I've got more notes you can read there. So God wants us to change the world, and love changes the world. Amen? Love changes the world. And the love of God is such a powerful force. The Bible says 7 times in the Gospels, Jesus moved with compassion. He opened blind eyes, raised a dead boy, fed the multitudes, healed the leper. He followed where love led him. Amen. It's amazing what miracles you can see when you let love have the driver's seat of your life. Let love take over. Let love take over. Let God take you to people that need you. And let love be released to them in great ways. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. Hey, would you stand your feet and just tell the Lord you love him? Prayer team, would you come down front, please? We worship you, God, and praise you for your faithfulness in our lives. You amaze us all the time by what you do and how you do it. And we are grateful, thankful, and we praise you this morning, God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Come on.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God.
Beautiful.
Oh, praise his name forevermore.
Hey, will you say the semi-dangerous prayer with me just for a moment, okay? Just raise your hands to God and say this. Holy Spirit, I invite you to adjust my thinking wherever I need it. Thank you for truth. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for the revelation of Jesus. And thank you for the Word of God. I open my heart to the Word of God. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving me the mind of Christ, for aligning my thoughts with heaven's thoughts so I can change the world. I thank you, God, that this year I want to change the world because you're changing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, praise the name. Come on. Of the Lord our God. Come on. Oh, praise His name. Anyone that needs prayer today, we want to pray for you. Listen, every single week in the life of this church, I receive praise reports about people that have experienced miraculous physical healing. And if you're hurting in your body today, please give us a chance to pray for you. We will pray the prayer of faith. We will speak to the mountain of sickness or pain and believe in God for a miracle in your life. If you need prayer, you're hurting in your body, maybe you're just going through a very difficult time, if you've not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit with a scriptural evidence of a prayer language, we'd love to pray for you. If you're here needing prayer, come on down forward. We're going to pray for you and spend as much time as we need at this altar. Today's your day to be received from God. For endless days we will sing.